This is Robin Farmer for this edition of The Writer's Voice for Virginia Voice. And today I am pleased to welcome Stephen K. Smith, author of the popular middle grade series, The Virginia Mysteries. Great to have you join me, Stephen.
Hi, thanks, Robin. Good to be here.
In addition to the 6 books in the Virginia Mystery series, including one that will be released October 24th, you have one more novel geared to boys and what you describe on your website as 2 grown-up books for adults. You are a productive writer, Stephen, because you are also raising 3 sons. How old are they now?
They are almost 14, 12, and 8. So we have a pretty busy and crazy household most of the time.
So you started a blog, myboys3.com, in 2009 as an outlet to share your adventures of raising your 3 sons with the world. Those blog posts turned into bedtime stories, which turned into books. And now, one of the books, the first one, Summer of the Woods, is in development for film. Did you have any inkling when you were making up these stories for your sons as bedtime stories that it would lead you to all of this?
I really didn't, so it's been a really fun surprise to kind of see where things go. But I think, you know, sometimes if you just start with something and work at it a little while and let the door be open to different possibilities, it's kind of fun to see where it goes. So it's been really exciting.
The 6 books that make up the Virginia Mysteries are so popular that they are now available in hardcover. Was that at the request of librarians?
Yeah, what I found is, especially school librarians, because the kids were checking them out, and the paperbacks tend to get beat up when so many kids get through them. So they said, you know, what we really like is hardcovers, and can you please get them made in those? So based on that request, I had them put together, and they've actually been a good seller in terms of having them for being stocked in the different school librarians and other libraries, too. So it's worked out well.
Getting boys to read for pleasure can sometimes be a challenge. Your books combine history and mystery. Is that the secret sauce?
I think so. You know, especially with boys, or I have boys, but I was really excited to see that girls have really enjoyed the stories too. But I think whether it's reluctant readers that sometimes have a hard time really getting into things, or even just history in general, which I was always a big fan of history. And so mixing adventures and mysteries and making some true facts and people and places really come to life in an exciting story, I think that to me is a big part of it, and making it something that kids are going to enjoy reading and not have to be something that they're kind of just stuck to do, but they really don't want to put it down. And for the most part, that's been a lot of the feedback, so it's been really fun to see.
Do you have any idea what percentage of your readership are boys? Any idea?
I don't know. That's a great question. When I visit a lot of schools, especially elementary schools and a few middle schools, I mean, it's been a pretty good mix of things. I tend to think that more of the reluctant readers I hear about from teachers and parents tend to be more boys than girls generally. When I started writing the books, you know, I have 3 boys, so the first book is about 2 brothers, and some girls came up to me afterwards and said, "We love this book, but where's all the girls?" And I said, "Oh no, there's no girls." So in the second book, the 2 brothers, Sam and Derek, their friend Caitlin joins in the second book, and she's in all the following books. So she's actually really fun to write. But it's fun to see, it's good to see kind of that mix of things. So I found girls will tend to read books about boys a little bit more than boys will about girls. So I think by having that combination, it's a good mix to kind of keep their interest.
I enjoyed reading the reviews that people have written about your work. One reviewer wrote that your series, quote, should be in every 3rd to 6th grade classroom and school library. This is the way to teach history.
Wow.
That feels good, doesn't it?
That feels really good to hear that. So it's great to see, you know, when you start off with something, you have no idea what the uptake's going to be. But it's really one of my most fun things to do is to visit, especially with schools, and see the kids' questions and smiles and excitement, both to meet an author, but also to get a kick out of the books. And, you know, that is really rewarding to see that they're enjoying it that way. So it's been great.
Your first book, Summer of the Woods, is being developed into a movie. Can you talk about how that came about? Can you tell us more about the story, and how much will it change for the movie version?
It's kind of an interesting story how it came about. It's actually a local director in the Richmond area whose son actually was one of those reluctant readers, and bought the book at a local bookstore and brought it home and suddenly couldn't put it down and said to his dad, who he knows, you know, does commercials and things, you know, this should be into a movie. And I just got a message on Facebook, of all things, to say, hey, let's have lunch. You know, I want to talk to you about your book. And thankfully, I took it somewhat seriously and responded.
What an endorsement. His
right.
son.
Right. Yeah. And it's neat to see, you know, it's trying to find, and I think that's one of the things with the books, of keeping them appropriate and clean for kids, but still exciting. So it's kind of that mix in between, like an animated Disney type of thing, which can be not overly thrilling all the time for some adults to watch, versus something really edgy and modern, like a Stranger Things or something that's very popular, but you don't really want to have your, you know, 8-year-old watching that kind of a show, for sure. So something, a family friendly kind of exciting thing that will be appealing to multiple audiences is kind of the idea. And it's actually been fun to see a lot of adults that have read the stories, and a lot of folks tell me, you know, I love to read middle grade because, you know, that reminds me both of my youth, and also it's just a fun story to read.
Some of the reviews I read were written by adults that were like, hey, I like reading this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I kind of use the tagline sometimes. It's a mix between like Magic Treehouse, which is a newer middle grade series, and like Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew. So it's a good kind of combination, and it kind of has a little bit of a nostalgic feel, some folks say, to the series. So it's fun.
So I know it takes years to make a movie, and you're still in the early changes, but do you get a sense that the movie will change from the book much?
Probably. I think a lot of times that tends to happen, especially, you know, Summer of the Woods is a fairly simple story. So in order to blow it out, you need to kind of fill in some of the cracks a little bit. I think that probably will happen, at least in some of the early versions of the script that I've seen. But, you know, stands to see what will happen. And down the road, maybe if it does well, you know, there's more books in the series, which is always kind of fun. So that's always a possibility. But that would be a good problem to have.
Are you involved in writing the screenplay?
I haven't been, but I've just kind of been kept in a loop as to kind of how things are going along. So I've got plenty of other things to do, so that is kind of nice, both not to have to worry about being the one advancing everything and also kind of see how things are going. But it's a surprising thing to see kind of come along, and hopefully it'll turn into something.
Can you read an excerpt of Summer of the Woods for us?
Sure. So this is from the first chapter, which is always a good place to start. So chapter one is called The Woods. In the long, hot summers of central Virginia, the trees danced at night. Inside the old white house with the black shutters, two boys watched the towering silhouettes rock in the breeze outside their bedroom window through the moonlight. The brothers shared a room and talked back and forth to each other in their beds, trying to keep themselves from falling asleep like all boys do. When they grew tired of talking and laughing, they lay still and listened to the wind moving through the high trees all around their house, moaning like an old train slowly chugging through the darkness. It was the second week of June, and the school year was over early, since only a few snow days had been used over the winter months. A seemingly endless summer vacation lay ahead of them. The air was getting hot, and the days were long, stretching far into the evening. Derek and Sam had just moved with their parents from up north to Virginia the week before. They'd said goodbye to their friends and their school and followed the moving truck on the long drive down the interstate highway. One of the things that had excited them most about moving into their new home, despite having to leave all they knew behind, was the deep woods that lay past their backyard. So as their parents unpacked the house, the boys began to venture outdoors. At first, the dark woods were a little scary for Sam, who was 8, and Derek, who was 10. But as the boys cautiously began to explore this new, uncharted world, their young minds started to dream about the adventures and the mysteries that lay beyond the grass of their yard. Years later, when they'd grown up and had families of their own, the brothers loved to talk about the memories from their very first summer living in Virginia, the Summer of the Woods.
It's very nice. It's your opening's very visual, and then you have sounds. It's almost like a movie, right? I'm always interested in how many drafts writers write. How many drafts did it take to get that right?
I didn't start off knowing, because this was my first book, knowing that that was going to turn into a book. So it's fine. I do have kind of some of the original drafts. So the first two or three chapters is kind of came out pretty quickly. And not that they weren't revised, but that was kind of the starting point. And for me, getting it more of the arc of the story of the book, of figuring out, okay, how does a beginning and a middle and an end work, was a little bit more of kind of what had to take shape after the fact. So I actually started off when I first wrote that first few chapters, it actually had my kids' names as the names of the brothers, because it was just going to be for them. And then as it kind of evolved and kind of tied in what's a mystery that they can figure out, it kind of went from there. But certainly a lot of editing rounds and polishing and things to get it, you know, as good as possible.
I was going to ask you, can your sons recognize parts of their personalities or their own adventures in your books?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of it, like our house has some tall trees around it, and there's a creek in the woods behind our house and things. So that gave me a lot of the ideas. We had just moved to Virginia from New Jersey a couple years before. So that was something that was kind of fresh in our minds. As the series goes on, each of the brothers is probably similar, especially in the beginning, to my two oldest boys. But as it goes on, they kind of start to depart a little bit and take on a little bit of life of their own with the characters. But I think having kids in the house and kind of using a lot of their interactions of how brothers are, that definitely aided in trying to make it a little bit more realistic of the types of things that brothers do and how they talk to each other. So that was a good part of it.
You published all of your books, and you've sold over 50,000 copies. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What's your advice to other authors considering self-publishing?
For me, it was a decision I made right from the very beginning to go, and I really liked the idea of starting my own small business and kind of jumping into it and being a little bit more entrepreneurial about things. And every path is not right for every person. So I know some folks are really dead set on working with a big New York publishing company, and it pained me, the idea of having something sitting in a drawer or waiting for years and years for someone to give me permission to get something out in the world. And I wanted to just jump into it. And I think that has to be a little bit of your personality, and it works better that way. But I think trying to stick with something that you're passionate about, you know, for me, it was a natural fit. You know, when I was a kid, I loved to read books like Where the Red Fern Grows and The Bridge to Terabithia and these different adventures and things. So I think that, combined with the passion of doing something for my kids, really came through in what came in the finished product. So I think doing that, you know, I always say if I wrote something about zombies, it probably wouldn't be very good, because that's not really what I get passionate about. So I think sticking with what you know and what really gets you excited is a great way to go, because that's going to shine through. So from a writing standpoint, you know, doing that, sticking with what, you know, with what you're trying to do and not giving up, because it takes a while to figure out how to do it, how to get a story flowing. And then, you know, there's a lot of things on the production side of things. It's never been easier to get your writing out into the world is the great part. But there's also a right and a wrong way to do it. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Most of my kind of education about publishing and writing comes from listening to podcasts when I'm in the car, different things. And since I, have a lot of other busy things going on, that's a good, convenient time for me to study up and get new ideas about marketing and producing things and that type of thing. So,
any podcasts that you recommend? Any in particular?
The ones I've been listening to the longest that's really comprehensive is called the Creative Pen Podcast. And that's run by Joanna Penn, P-E-N-N, and she's been doing it for 6 or 7 years. But there's probably a dozen different indie writing and publishing podcasts that are out there that are really good, and there are some of them from different perspectives, and it just gives you a good sense of kind of what's happening. Everything is changing very quickly, even in the last 5 years, so that's an evolving field, and it's helpful to kind of keep up with what's happening.
You're quite productive. And you're busy raising a family. Talk about your writing schedule.
That is the biggest challenge. You know, I hear a lot, and I think in a perfect world, I would do a little bit of writing every day is kind of, you know, the correct way to do it, so to speak. I still have a day job right now for the time being. And so I tend to actually write in spurts. So I've been putting out like a book a year with the mystery series. So most of my real drafting tends to happen over a 2 or 3 month period of time, and then editing and things. But it's really about squeezing it in when I can. And that's another thing to your earlier question about advice for doing it. I mean, sometimes you don't have a lot of time. So if you have 20 minutes on a train or before bed or getting up 30 minutes early to work on something a little bit at a time, if you stick with it, it's going to keep on accumulating. And I think that's the key, is figuring out how you can do it on your schedule. And that may be, you know, amidst family, and I'm, you know, coaching sports with my kids and different things, but kind of just trying to fit it in. And it, for me, it's something that I really find enjoyable, both the writing and the business side of it. And it's different than what, you know, my day job and everything else. So that makes it fun, versus something that is more of a chore. So it makes it easier to kind of stick with it. And I think in particular writing, it's probably similar with other artistic endeavors. It's so gratifying to have a finished product at the end of the day that you can hold up and both get people's reaction, but also say, hey, here's something that didn't exist that now it does, because it kind of came from your imagination and the effort that you put into it. And that's a really neat feeling to have, that in a lot of areas in life, in employment and different things, isn't always as tangible to be able to see this is something that I came up with. So
that's right. You're a member of Richmond Children's Writers and James River Writers. How did those organizations help?
I think it's great. You know, writing can be a very solitary experience sometimes. So I think the more that you can have some community, both to kind of hear about what other people are doing and also just be a little bit social and be able to talk about things, I think that can be great, to meet other people that are doing what you're doing. My experience is you can only talk to your family about your books for so long before they shut you down. So it's great to be able to kind of have a little bit of an outlet to kind of talk about what you're doing and you know, get ideas from other people and even help other people with some of the things that they're working on. It's a good back and forth, and it kind of gives you a little bit more of that water cooler feeling versus being in an office and interacting with people all the time on your writing.
A portion of the proceeds from the Virginia Mysteries are donated to Churchill Activities and Tutoring, also known as CHAT. Love that. So talk about why you did that.
I became aware of them right after the first book, especially when I was looking into the second book, which takes place in Churchill. So again, not growing up in the area, I didn't know a lot of these different things, but I had run into them really early and started finding out about how they do a lot of after school. They do a lot of things, but one of the things in particular are these after school tutoring programs that particularly focus on reading. So I thought that was a really good fit, to be able to kind of connect. And I have been visiting one of their tutoring sites after each one of the books come out and just getting to sit down and read a little bit of the story to them and answer questions and give the kids a chance to meet an author, which they probably haven't before. And just another idea of something, here's the kind of thing that you could do, you know, if you put your mind to it. And even I didn't know I was going to write books when I was your age either. And just to give them some experience to some other things. But it's great to see, you know, how groups like that are really in the city working to help kids in particular that need some help and an extra hand. So I think it's been a good fit.
Stephen, what's next?
My newest book is called Shadows at Jamestown, and that comes out at the end of October. So that's been, you know, anytime something comes out, that's a big push to kind of get all the production and the marketing and editing and everything done. So that is kind of running me ragged at the moment. But, you know, my plan is to be able to get some additional books in the series out of another series for kids called Brother Wars, that the first book is out. I would like to expand that into being some more. Took a stab at writing some adult fiction this year, too. So that's something to try to spend some time on, too. And the plan is to, you know, be able to move a little bit more full time in the months ahead into writing. So that is a lot of opportunity down the road.
You mentioned writing for adults. Why did you decide to use the name Stephen Sawyer for Harborwood, your contemporary adult fiction novel?
Yeah, you know, I went back and forth. I think the biggest reason was because sometimes pen names, people keep them secret or whatever else, but it was really just to separate it from the kids' books versus the books for grown-ups. So, you know, it's not crazy, but it's also not something, you know, that's designed for middle grade kids to read. So that way, just kind of from a branding standpoint, I think that's how some authors are using pen names now, is to say, all right, this product line means this type of thing and this product line means another type of thing. So that using an author name, a pen name in that type of marketing branding is probably as much of anything as why I did it.
What themes are you exploring in Harborwood?
It's kind of a coming of age story about a teenage boy who runs into a girl from his high school on the boardwalk in New Jersey. So I grew up in New Jersey, always going to the beach. So they meet, and he's a baseball player, and you know, his kind of career gets a little sidetracked and has an overly demanding father and lots of different kind of dynamics. So just kind of finding your way and figuring out what life is going to be, even if it's not exactly what you thought it might be. I've always been a little bit of a sucker for romantic movies and those kind of storylines. So kind of a boy meets girl and kind of they drift apart and figuring out how they can kind of come back together again is a big part of that idea. So it was a fun story to write. It was in there somewhere and I didn't exactly know how it was going to turn out. It's very different than the kids' mystery books. So just expanding a little bit and trying some things.
Do you have a timetable for a number of books geared to adults that you want to try to adhere to?
I would like to try to keep doing one a year, you know, in both categories. Some of that depends on time that's available to do it. But I think what I've found, certainly in the series with the kids' books, is that having a series or at least a collection of books for that type of audience really helps a lot from a sales standpoint. And readers tend to look for, oh, what did this author write out? What else did they write? So by seeing that this isn't the only thing they did, because if I really like it, I don't want to be disappointed because there's no more books. So I think having that and probably holding off a lot of marketing and things until there's a little bit more content in that name is probably in the plans.
So there are 6 books in the Virginia Mystery Series. Will there be more?
That's the plan, trying to keep a good thing going as I found it. So the good news is I tried to really set them at different historical places. It is limited to Virginia, but the good news is there's no
end. We have a lot of places in Virginia,
right? That's right. I say to people, the hardest part is not finding a place to write about. It's narrowing it down to which one to write about. So there's a few places in my mind. You know, I recently visited Mount Vernon, which is a really cool spot. And, you know, there's a lot of places like that or even other themes that I haven't visited yet, too. So there's lots of different possibilities.
Stephen, it's been a pleasure having you stop by.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This is fun.
Thank you for sharing your writings and your wisdom with Virginia Voice.